Well, we've been doing a series just kind of this first month of the year on basics. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about fasting. All right. And so we're going to just this morning, a little bit briefer than normal. This is the fifth Sunday. We kind of cut everything down a little bit because one of our main purposes on the fifth Sunday is spending time with each other, getting to know one another. Because one of the best parts about following Jesus is we are adopted into a family. We're all in this together. Okay. And so hanging out with each other as believers is a spiritual thing. Okay. So it wasn't just a bunch of people eating donuts and cinnamon rolls and breakfast pizza. But this morning we want to talk about studying the Bible, all right? We chose this to be the shorter one because most of you, if you've been in church, if you follow Jesus for any time, you kind of already know you need to do that. But like the other two, we want this to be more practical. We want it to be helping. Mm-hmm. We don't want you to walk out going, I need to do more than what I'm already doing, and I already knew that, so I feel worse about myself, okay? Being challenged is good, and we don't mind challenging you. If you've been here, you know that. But I want to ask a question to get started, okay? Mm-hmm. And I do want to encourage you to use our Cornerstone Connect number to text any answers. We're going to get to as many questions as we can, right? But the question is, what's your biggest challenge in studying Scripture, mm-hmm. okay? When you're reading the Bible, studying the Bible, what is your biggest challenge, all right? So take advantage of this, text this in, and we're going to get to those as soon as possible because we're trying to be shorter than normal, which is really hard when there's two of us, right?
We always have a lot to say.
We got a lot to say. It's tough enough when it's just me. But we're going to start here real briefly, okay? I don't think we have to spend a ton of time on this. But if you're newer to the faith, or even if you're watching online and you're just sort of checking things out about Jesus, Christianity, you're not sure. Mm-hmm. So we'll start with the question of why study? Like, why is it even
right?
Why is it even?
I think that's
important?
A valid question, especially if you didn't grow up in the church. It seems a little obscure to study some ancient text. We have a verse. I'm going to read this verse because I think this paints a really clear picture of what it is that we're doing when we study the Bible. In his letter to his disciple Timothy, he called him his adopted son. Paul writes this. He says, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So a couple things stand out to me there. First of all, in verse 15, it says that Scripture makes us wise. Studying Scripture makes us wise. God's wisdom and his knowledge are so high above ours. When we study his word, it gives us the wisdom and insight that we need. And then in verse 17, it says that it thoroughly equips us for every good work. I can't think of anything better for a believer in Jesus than to be equipped to do good works and wise for salvation. And that's what reading and studying the Bible does for us.
Yeah, and I also want to read the Assemblies of God, fundamental truth number one. Okay, the Assemblies of God has 16 fundamental truths. I don't expect you guys necessarily to have all of these memorized or even know them, although a couple of you have had to, right? You know who you are. This is the first one, and we're going to spend just a little time on this. It says, the scriptures, both the Old and New Testaments, are verbally inspired of God and are the revelation of God to man, the infallible, authoritative rule of faith and conduct. Okay, and that's number one. It has to be number one if that is our belief of Scripture, because it is authoritative over not only what we believe, but how we live it out, okay? And so, and this is important, and we could do a couple messages on this by itself, but we're going to move on just a second. But it's important because there are many, many churches that are moving away from this, churches that call themselves Christian churches. I would say in this town it's about 50%, okay? I'm not going to necessarily call them out. Many of you know that. All right, those I would label fit in the progressive Christianity camp. They have progressed beyond treating the Bible like it's the authoritative for their life, for their faith, of how they live it out. And so this is fundamental.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
What we know and what we've learned about God, we've learned through the person of Jesus and God's inspired word.
Yeah, because that's what it says here. It says it's the revelation of God to man. So the point, the ultimate goal of studying the Bible is not so that we know more than the person next to us, or so we feel really, the Bible says knowledge can puff us up. We don't want to feel puffed up by our superior knowledge of God's word, but we want to know God better. And reading and studying the Bible is one of the best ways for us to do that, because this is how God has revealed himself to us.
Right. And so if you have any questions about that, let us know. Feel free to text us. We just sort of wanted to set the foundation here of why we should study, why it's important. Because if we don't know God, if we don't know his word, it's hard to know how to live for him. Okay, it's hard to know sometimes what to believe. So we view everything that we believe through Scripture, because God has revealed himself through it. So listen, a couple things real quick, and then we'll move on, all right? If you have any questions about the reliability of Scripture, we've talked about that here before. We've got... Yeah. Couple books we give you, okay? Scriptures, especially the Gospels, we believe it's all inspired, but there's no more documented work of literature in the history of mankind than the Bible, especially Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the biographies of Jesus, okay? Thousands upon thousands of copies. No other work of literature stacks up against that, yet many in the world want to doubt the reliability of the Gospels, yet they will believe some of these other things are complete history with only a couple copies in existence, okay? Or hundreds versus tens of thousands, all right? We've taught about that here before. We could easily point to some of that. We're not going to do that today.
And that's going to come up in our new Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., so please join us.
It just might, okay? So let's move on, okay? This is sort of the why. Most of you don't need sort of any more reinforcement of why you should study Scripture. If you do, we'd love to talk with you, okay? Mm-hmm. But number two, we're going to go to how, all right? Now, this is a big one.
Okay. Yeah.
How do I study God's Word? Now, for the sake of time, we won't try to answer this completely, because that's kind of difficult, all right? Mm-hmm. But again, if you've got a question of something that you're struggling with, please text it in. We'll try to get to it. And your window's closing. This is Fifth Sunday. We're not going to keep you here forever, all right? So please take advantage of that. But how? How do we study, all right? How do we do that?
Because that's a big question, because this is not just one book, but it's a library of books that were written over the course of 1,600 years by many different authors in many different cultural settings. And so it can be hard. I mean, if you've ever read Dante or Homer or something like that, like, That's a big job that only really like scholars try to attempt, but we're asking you kind of to read a book that's even older than that and understand it. So we want to put some tools in your hands this morning to help you know how to approach Bible study if that's something new to you or something you don't feel like you're really good at.
Sure. And following God has always required his people to know what he said.
Yeah.
And then live that out. We want to read a couple of verses here. Deuteronomy chapter 11. This is Old Testament. We're going back. But this shows us how important it is for God's people to know what God thinks and what he said. Amy, do you want to read these real quick?
Yeah. So this is from Deuteronomy chapter 11. It says, love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about it when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. So there's a lot there.
There is
but
a lot.
The idea, I think, that Moses is putting forth is that they need to keep God's words ever before them. How many of you guys make a list when you go shopping? You make a list? Because if you don't have a list of all the things that you want to get at the store, you're going to get home and you're going to forget something. I often get home and I'm like, oh, I forgot to put that on the list, and so I didn't buy it. Same principle. Like, if we want to make sure we don't miss any of the things that God has for us in his word, we need to keep it in front of ourselves all the time. And the Israelites took a lot of these commands literally.
Right.
They have, was it a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Steve was here.
Pastor Steve talked about
the phylacteries, the little boxes that they would have little tiny rolled up pieces of paper or whatever it was that they wrote on at that time with the scriptures on them, literally bound to their wrists and their foreheads, literally written on the door frames of their homes.
Right. And so I think What we wanted you guys to see here is just, listen, the importance of God's people, knowing what he said, and how central it should be to our lives, all right? We don't expect any of you to come in with boxes on your head next week. Because sometimes when you guys come in, even as a joke, I don't always get it. If you come in with special hats, all right, you guys, you missed that series. We have a whole row of ladies with big hats. Sorry. Yeah, you had to be there. But here, so what I want to do, okay, because, that's a good one. Here's the question, okay, which I won't be able to fully explain probably right now. Like, how do we know which laws, especially from the Old Testament, apply to us today? Okay, we don't want to cherry pick the Bible, pick some and not the others, okay? But some seem not to apply today, or do they?
Short answer is, in the Old Testament, there were a handful of different types of laws.
Right.
Some applied to the Israelites as a nation. These are like ceremonial and ritual laws for the way that they were supposed to approach God, to be set apart as a nation that was obedient to him. So when you see things like the specific rituals for their sacrifices, or commandments not to blend two different types of fabrics to make their clothing, or kosher dietary laws. Those were all intended for ritual cleanliness for God's people in the Old Testament. Anything that applies to morality, how you are to treat other people, those are meant to be enduring and to exemplify for us God's character in how he views us and how we are then to treat other people in view of the fact that God has also made and loves them, which I know doesn't really specify necessarily. If you have a particular verse that you're trying to parse through, feel free to, you know, come talk to us if you have something that you're particularly wrestling with. But those are the general guidelines. And we see even in the New Testament that they address some of those things. And they say, listen, when people are coming to Jesus that are not a part of Jewish culture, all of these laws that we have asked them, you know, we're not going to ask them to obey all of those laws. Those pertain to being Jewish, not to being a part of God's people.
Yeah, so hopefully that helped. I say the ceremonial and religious requirements are really set aside. Jesus even spoke to that when he's talking to the Samaritan woman. He said there's coming a day when people aren't going to argue about what mountain to worship on, okay? It's not about real estate or location anymore, because they're going to worship in spirit and truth. And so most of what was set aside, I think Amy did a very good job explaining that, was the ceremonial and the rituals. But any morality that was established between people and God, and especially between people and people, that has not changed from day one, okay? Because God does not change. All morality is based upon the character of God and the person of God and his intentions at creation. It's been about 3 years. We did a series called Deconstructing Eden. It would be a great one for you to go back and listen to. It'll discuss some of this, but really morality was established from day one, even before Israelites received the law. So that is a good question. That's a big question. Feel free to text back if you have any follow-up questions. But hopefully that helps.
And to be clear, that doesn't mean that those passages of Scripture that detail those laws are not useful for studying. Timothy, that verse we read in Timothy says that all Scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And we learn a lot about God's character and the history of his people and the story of redemption that he's telling throughout all the Bible by studying even those detailed ritual laws.
Well, because here, and I'm going to say just enough to probably confuse you, so I admit it, okay? But we've talked about it here before. Do the Ten Commandments apply to us today? Okay, my answer is no and yes, right? Because they were written to a specific people for a specific time. But in each one of those laws, a universal morality, a godly morality was established, and that's what still impacts us today, and that's what still applies us to us today. And so I probably said just enough maybe to confuse half of you, okay? But that's a good question, because some people have a hard time figuring out how to apply the Old Testament to the new. And we could recommend some books and some other stuff.
Absolutely.
Or let's sit down and talk with you. So what I want to do real quick, could I have some strapping young fellas right here, okay? We have another handout. Woo! It's been a month of handouts, all right? Stephen. Spencer. Okay, Stephen, take this side. Spencer, I should leave one so we know what we're talking about, right? I think there's two there. Right, hit this side. I want to go through this real quick. We're not going to hit everything. But when we did fasting, when we did prayer, we want to, again, our goal this month was to give you some practical helps, some practical guidelines. You can throw these in your Bible. You can take them home, okay? But what we want to do is hit a couple things real quick, and then we're going to come back. We're going to do communion. We got one more song, and then we're going to close. Mm-hmm. But thank you, sir. And we'll leave extras after service on at the Connect Center. But what we've done here, the Bible references are just references that speak to God's Word and the priority of God's Word. Okay?
Yeah.
You'll notice we just put four translations on here that are probably the most commonly read and popular today. That doesn't mean others are wrong or bad. Okay? So don't misunderstand or assume we meant something that we didn't.
Yeah.
I just think those are probably the most commonly used today.
And for us, for our personal study, these are the four that we're most likely reaching for.
And there is a scale. Those are in order for a purpose, because the ESV to the NLT, there's a scale for most literal to more of a thought-for-thought translation. And there's a place for all of those, okay? Mm-hmm. And regulars, you know this. But if you were to interpret the original manuscripts literally, like every word literally, most of it would not make sense. Okay, language changes. Mm-hmm. So this is really a scale from ESV to NLT, from word-for-word translation to a thought-for-thought or a dynamic equivalent. All right, read the translation notes in front of your Bible if you never have. It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a special section here because I'm your pastor, and I just want to, honestly, this is probably a little teaching for some of you. These are really paraphrases. The Message Bible, a lot of you know that. The Passion Translation, I put that in quotes, because it's very popular for young people. This is not a real translation, but let me explain that. That doesn't mean this is bad. There have been Bible scholars push back on the guy who wrote this and translated this, because it's really more like a paraphrase. Okay, what a paraphrase is where you expound a little bit more. It's more like what I do on a Sunday morning when I'm trying to explain a passage of Scripture to you. Okay, we expound on it, we try to explain it in a way that maybe makes more sense to you today. That doesn't mean it's wrong. It is not a true translation. We've mentioned that before, but I don't think the author has any evil intent, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying, all right? The Amplified Bible, it's a little bit of a hybrid. There's nothing wrong with the Amplified Bible, but in parentheses or brackets, it includes a lot of synonyms for other things, and sometimes it really goes beyond what the original Hebrew or Greek would intend, but not in a bad way. None of these are evil. You guys understand what I'm saying? None of these are wrong. I just don't think any of these three should be the primary Bible you read. They should be a Bible that you look to. If you read a passage out of other translations, go, let me see somebody maybe expand on that a little bit more. But just understand you're not reading a pure translation at that point. And there's a place for that in study, as long as you know where it belongs, okay? And I blew through that. I probably offended half of you. If you have any questions, let me know. That was not my intent. I just, there's a difference between a translation and a paraphrase. Mm-hmm. You guys need to understand that. And if you read even the introductory part of the Passion Translation, the guy has an agenda. It's not a bad one, but he's very clear what his agenda was, which is not the same as other translations. Their agenda is just to communicate Scripture in a way that makes sense today. Okay? Mm-hmm. Passion Translation, he has an emphasis, a topical emphasis, which is not how you translate anything. Okay?
Yeah.
So, not against it if we put it in its proper place. All right?
So then the next section here on the handout, we recommend some specific Bibles. If you're looking for a new Bible, if you're looking to expand your understanding of God's Word, a study Bible is going to be a Bible that has all kinds of extra notes for you. If you've never used a study Bible before, it's going to have an in-depth concordance, which is sort of a short dictionary of words that appear in the Bible and references where you'll find those words used again and again. It'll have sometimes notes explaining a passage. Some study Bibles even have like reading plans and devotionals embedded in the text. But it's going to illuminate your understanding of Scripture if you've never really dug in deep and studied the Bible before. And then a reader's Bible is a relatively new concept. For a long time, the Bible has only been published in a format very much like what I have here, where it's two columns. Maybe it has a center column like this, and it's got the numbers and the headings. A reader's Bible said, you know, this isn't how we read any other book. What if we ran the text all the way across the page and took out all the numbers so people could ignore some of the stuff that they use for reference and read the stories as stories, read them as letters as they were intended to the original audience. And so a reader's Bible is not going to have chapter and verse numbers. The text is going to run all the way across the page. It's going to feel more like a regular book. But for some, especially if you're doing lengthy Bible reading, those can be really nice on your eyes and a really different sort of experience when you're reading and studying Scripture.
Yeah, if you're struggling reading sometimes, because like I get very distracted. I'm a very scattered person. You guys probably never knew that. But a few years ago, I've got the first two reader's Bibles I have, and I was able to read longer passages without getting distracted. Okay, because you guys understand, right? Chapter verses, number verses are not divinely inspired. They were added hundreds of years later. You guys understand that? And so this is a great addition to your Bible read, to just flat out reading. It's really nice. You might find yourself ending up reading more Scripture. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we recommend those. So I just want to jump to the back real quick. You guys can read the rest of it. We don't want to read it to you. But here's some ideas to help you. Because, okay, we didn't get a lot of questions text in. But I know a lot of you, especially if you don't like to sit very long, if you're not a reader, like, listen, I don't read for fun. I'd rather watch the movie. Can anybody relate to that? Yeah. Amy reads all the time. She's usually got a dozen books she's in the middle of, all right? So even in college, I'm like, oh, man, I got to read more. Like, especially when you have to read something. I was so terrible at that, all right? Kudos to grad students that you've graduated once and you're trying to do it again, right? Okay. So here's some hints, okay? Some very maybe practical ideas that might help you. This is the first one we always tell people. Pick a plan to read the Bible. Because if you're just I'm just going to see where it opens up, you know, and see where it lands. You're either not going to cover a wide scope of Scripture. That's not going to last very long. You need to have a plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay? And I would suggest to you, if you've never read the entire Bible before, starting in Genesis and just working through cover to cover is probably not the best way to start. The Bible books were not organized in chronological order necessarily. I mean, it does start at the beginning and it ends at the end, but in the middle, they've got kind of some detours. Right. And they're organized like a library. So you wouldn't start at a library that's in Dewey Decimal System and go, okay, I'm going to start with the zeros, and I'm going to work my way all the way to the thousands. Because you go to where you want in a library and pick out the book that you need. You can do that with the Bible too, maybe making an ultimate goal to read all the way through Scripture, but you can start where your understanding is or where what you're needing from the Lord is, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, so you guys read through these, okay? Technology can be a distraction, but can also be a help. If you don't like reading, listening to Scripture, especially if you're not doing something else where you can focus on it, I know we live in a small town. Nobody probably has a long commute. I know a few of you do. That'd be a great way to consume Scripture, is listen to it, okay? In addition to your Bible reading, at the same time, okay, all the above, that's a great thing to add to your habits of listening and consuming Scripture. So, guys, look through these, okay? If we can be of help, we want to. We just want to put something in your hands that might be helpful to you. Did you have any...
No.
Anything else to say on these? And so, listen, we've got to be people of God's word. If we're going to be people of God, we need to know what he said, right?
Yes.
Okay. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit will help us remember what we've studied. My joke for years in youth ministry was, Lord will never help us remember something if we've never remembered it in the first place. Right? Do you guys follow that? That's tough. Mm-hmm. I know. So we've got to consume it. And we got to make it part of our lives. Set a reasonable goal. All right, as a teenager, I want to be super spiritual. Like, man, I'm going to do an hour every day. You know, how long did that last? Maybe one day, right? Then you beat yourself up because you didn't make it. Yeah. Set a reasonable goal. If you're doing nothing, you even reading Scripture 3 days a week, man, that'll bless you. That'll help you, okay? Mm-hmm. So set a reasonable goal. And then just try to grow in it, so which is what we want as a church. We want to grow together. Yeah. We want to know what God said. And so if you have any questions about any of this, let us know. We'd love to talk with you. Again, our list of resources are not meant to be the only acceptable resources. It's just we wanted to throw some out there that we are familiar with. And so let's do this, okay? You guys have the handouts. We are going to bring the worship team back up, okay? We are going to thank the Lord for what he did for us, okay? His death and resurrection for us, and through that, we are able to know God, to know our Creator, and we are grateful for that. And then through his word, we're able to learn more about him and know him. And so so let's just worship together. Then I'm going to come back up, and we're going to take communion together as a way to close our service, as a way of celebration. And so, hey, thanks, guys, for being here. Again, a little bit different on Fifth Sunday, even if you're watching online. But thank you for being with us and being flexible today. And so we're going to ask the worship team to lead us this morning. Mm-hmm.